Hello, good afternoon. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on a Saturday afternoon. My guest is Death to Anders. We're going to play a track from a CD they brought in, and then we're going to talk, and we're going to play some live stuff, or talk some more, listen to some more music. You know the drill. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Death to Anders. With Death to Anders on Is Good, killradio.org. How's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Thank you.
It's Saturday morning. Why don't we start with introductions and we'll go right into a live song. Who am I looking at?
My name's Rob, and I'm the singer and guitar player for Death to Anders.
I'm Nick. I take care of vocals and guitar as well.
Pete, bass.
The bass players are always the most eloquent.
I should have said it lower.
All right, well, you guys ready to jump into a live song?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what's this one called?
Yeah, this song is called Sell Out.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Death to Anders.
Joke when I needed you most. You sat there and laughed and called upon the crowd of people who you related to most. They just sold you out. Wouldn't have dared to cast upon all these things that happened to you. And I made a record out. And I made a record out. And I made a record out. And I made down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead and hopeless. No, I can't wait to see you down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead and hopeless. No, I can't wait to see you down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead and hopeless. No, I can't wait to see you down, and I can't wait to pass you by, dead and hopeless. Ooh.
If I can just break out of professional radio host mode for a second and say, holy shit, that was awesome.
Thanks.
That sounded really good. Some bands, you know, they start out with a group of people that just kind of find themselves playing together and they don't know how it happened. And some bands are, you know, a guy with a dream who finds others to sort of fill in the sound of that dream. How did Death to Anders start out?
You want me to go? Death to Anders kind of started out. I mean, like I moved to LA from Colorado about 3 years ago when I was in the recording artist program at the Musicians Institute, where they kind of show you how to be completely independent and make your own home studio and do everything on your own. And once I graduated, I stayed on as a TA and I just kind of supervised the recording studios there. And then the following phase, the new students came in. Nick was one of the students. So we kind of started talking to each other. Like, I knew that he was way into like Elliott Smith and the Decemberists and Modest Mouse, and we both of us really like both of that type of music. So we started playing together, and at that time I was starting this other band, and I was really disappointed with the way things were going with it. And
what was missing from that initial band?
Well, I guess what was missing was, one, it was the musicianship. I wasn't happy with the way that the other guys were playing. And also, like, there wasn't, like, a spark. Like we weren't friends or anything like that. And I couldn't really communicate well with them. And so while that was going on, Nick would be coming into the recording studios at school being like, hey, Rob, put, you know, some guitar parts to my stuff. And did I know that, you know, these guitar parts and these songs that I was, you know, working on with Nick, you know, these would actually turn out to be some of our songs. So we kind of one day both of us were like, well, shit, let's just kind of get into a band together. And right when that happened, I quit my old band, and I had a couple of the songs, just like the one that we just played, Sellout. Like, that was one of the songs that I was playing with my old band, and we kind of like took that over and started playing that with Death to Anders, and it was kind of went on from there. So did
you know right from the start that you guys were gonna really click musically together?
Pretty much. Well, once we played together, we knew it. But it took like a couple months of me coming into the studio and bugging him the whole time, just being like, "Dude, put something to my stuff, fella." And
so Nick, you knew from the start that you wanted to play with Rob, and you guys were gonna develop a sound together.
Yeah. Once we played, it was certain. But before that, I mean, it seemed like, why not? Because we had such similar tastes and stuff like that, and the band that he was playing in just wasn't. He would bring me stuff and be like, "Listen to this, it's awesome." And not to sound like a jerk or anything, but I would just kind of be like, "Oh man, you could."
Yeah. Did you have to like walk a fine line there? Like, you didn't want to insult his band because you wanted him to appreciate your perspective.
I mean, it wasn't that they were horrible, but it wasn't really his band. It was more of like the other guy that he was with. It was kind of like his thing. They were doing more his songs than Rob's, and Rob's songs are just a lot better. And it was, you know.
Well, what is that? What is the quality of Rob's writing? If you could talk about Rob right in front of him like that, that you think that's inspiring for you?
Well, Rob kind of balances a fine line of being able to take really, really cool melodies and kind of like fuse that in with just enough like kind of like raw tension just to really kind of, I don't know, create a sound that I hadn't heard before. I mean, I mean in other influences and stuff like that, but really it was pretty refreshing to come across something so cool. Like, you know.
Nick, why did you get into playing guitar in the first place? What was like the first moment you decided to pick one up and see if that was the instrument for you?
Oh man, I think I started playing in high school, like my senior year. I used to do theater and stuff like that, and I'm from the Bay Area, so that's pretty much what I was doing up until like, you know, 22, 23, and then I kind of got sick of it and moved here, and I found Musicians Institute, and that kind of took me from there, you know.
Now the Bay Area, that's like a pretty rich resource for a lot of musicians. Do you think that had an influence on the way you developed musically?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I wasn't really. I kind of guitar when I was playing guitar up there, it was just kind of a way to pass the time, I found myself randomly enough. I found myself one day in ballet class doing like you know,
pot of berets in front of a mirror going, what the hell am I doing? I need to...
Somebody kill me.
Seriously. I was like, I'd rather be sitting at home just playing a song or something like that. And I kind of just clicked. I was like, all right, what the hell am I doing? I need to get out of here, man. Take these tights off.
So did you come to L.A. specifically to do music?
Yeah. It took me... I came here like about 4 years ago. And the first 2 years was just spent just kind of tooling around and figuring out what the hell I was doing. And then... start of my third year here, I did MI, and you know.
And Rob, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Colorado, so it was like right when I graduated college at the University of Colorado, I just pretty much packed my bags and head on over here to go to the school. So,
and were you drawn to LA because there's such a music industry presence here? Or?
Well, I mean, I guess like 3 years ago, I was pretty, I mean, I knew that, you know, there was music here, but I was kind of naive to, you know, how much music there was and how many bands. And the reason why I came here was pretty much for the school. You know, there was I was starting to record a bunch of my stuff at home. I had a little four track and I was, you know, writing songs, and I just was getting less and less motivated in Colorado because the music scene there wasn't, you know, my style. And I really didn't even know what I was going to do. I remember telling myself, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to go to LA and I'm going to get into an awesome band. But I didn't know what kind of a band. Like, I was thinking maybe something along the lines of like Tool, even, you know, something a lot heavier.
Did you think it was going to be like your creation, or that you were going to get into somebody else's band and be?
I always thought it was going to be my creation. I was in a band, called Highway 36 in Colorado, and it was kind of like a Dave Matthews, Pearl Jam acoustic, you know, kind of jam band type of thing. And I was the lead guitar player, and I ended up having to leave because, you know, I wasn't in the spotlight, and that's something that, you know, I really needed. Like, I needed to be writing the songs and singing them and doing all that stuff. And, you know, and I was just, I really didn't have any musical say in what we were doing. It was really the other guy's songs. So I got a little frustrated with that, and so I had to leave. And so when I came out here, I kind of had an idea of, you know, being more of a singer here.
Why do you think it's so important in your life to be able to express yourself musically and represent your point of view musically?
I guess that, like, I don't know, like, you know, my everybody, you know, that's been around me, they always know that I'm the one that always needs the attention and stuff. I'm always the one kind of cracking jokes and, you know, being like, ah, listen to me, look at me, you know. So, like, it was kind of like inevitable that, you know, when, you know, if I would ever play music, that it would, you know, it would be more of that role.
Do you feel that people understand you musically better than they do verbally, maybe?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, so many times where I get so nervous and like I never talk around people and stuff like that, but I'll get up on stage and I'll scream my ass off and, you know, dance around like a fool, and I feel so comfortable there and
finally, you know, free, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Free.
Pete, how did you get involved with this group of people?
Craigslist.
Craigslist, really?
Yeah. Yep.
They were just looking for a bass player?
I was between bands and I was trolling Craigslist looking for something interesting, and happened on these fine fellows, and I just linked it straight to their MySpace page, and before I think the first song I listened to was at that time Sellout,
yeah,
the song we just played, and before the song was even done, I was calling Rob on the phone saying, yeah, I'd try out for this.
You knew immediately that you wanted to be a part of that sound?
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. Yeah, the song was still playing while Rob answered the phone. He's like, hello? And then it turned out that Rob lives around the corner from my... Like, if I stood on the roof of my house, I could see Rob. I could see whether or not Rob is home.
That's so LA.
It's really weird. It's bizarre. Because I expect, you know, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. What were some of your early influences that, you know, what was it about this music that you knew immediately clicked with what you wanted to do?
Like crossover, like bands that we had in common as influences. I always enjoyed Built to Spill. I've been a huge fan of that, and I heard elements of that in what they're doing. Surely Radiohead, without a doubt.
Guided by Voices.
Yeah. Guided by Voices, I have, yeah. I'm a fan of the later Guided by Voices, which is...
Is that Taboo?
Taboo. You're not supposed to say that? Yeah, most people like their four-track, like, toss-off stuff. I like their produced, like, even the Rick Ocasek one. You know, I love Guided by Voices.
Had you been playing bass in other bands before this came around?
Yeah, a whole bunch.
And did you have a home in a band then, no. and it just didn't pan out, or?
My wife and I had a daughter, and I was in a sort of in a situation musically where I was doing sort of mercenary work, you know, getting by here and there, playing in different things, and you know, nothing that my heart was all the way in, but this sort of filled that void, without a doubt.
Okay, so we're not here with a drummer, which is usual for Is Good, but this is a particularly interesting point for Death to Anders. What's the percussion story behind Death to Anders?
Well, as of now, we're somewhat in between drummers, and you know, we've had some really cool auditions so far, and just gonna try to, you know, find the right drummer and kind of go from there. So yeah, hopefully in like a month or two, we'll be starting to play a lot more shows. And
but you started out with a drummer named Anders, correct?
Yeah, we Anders.
I assume that's where you got the name from.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I smelled that coming.
Yeah.
So Anders is a great guy. He was our first drummer, and he totally blew us away. Like, there's nobody that drums like him at all. It's absolutely incredible. And he ended up leaving the band just because he didn't have time. You know, he was going back to school, and he had to work and all that stuff, and
got a fiance.
So ended up being like, well, you know, he wanted to rehearse less, and we wanted to rehearse more, and we wanted.
So you have trouble moving forward because you had that one element.
Yeah. So at the time, we were kind of in between band names, and right when he left, we were just like, when he was in it, we were thinking about different band names. Like, I came up with a band name called like the Whale Poachers, for example, and like every single thing, including that one, like Anders would be
the Baby Seal Beaters.
Yeah, like Anders was like, oh, that's a negative connotation, I don't like that, blah blah blah, it's too sarcastic, and stuff like that. So we could never really find a good band name. And then right when he left, I was like, well, you know what? I'm gonna find a band name that has a negative connotation. It's extremely sarcastic, hence Death to Anders. And
but then he came back and actually played with you guys for a while that name.
He came back as a sub. A lot of people think, like, you know, we hate him, he's an asshole or whatever, but that's not the case. Like, he's awesome. Like, he's a good friend of ours. And so when we were in need of, you know, finding a drummer really quickly because we had a bunch of gigs lined up, you know, we called him up, and he was like, and he was on summer break at the time, so he was able to have the time to rehearse, and he was like, yeah, sure, well, I'll come on in. So
yeah, and linguistically it has kind of a ring to it, right? Death to Anders. Just, were you guys ready to dive into another live song?
Sure, man.
Is that cool? And then we'll come back, we'll talk a little bit about your CD, and we'll play another track from
cool,
it.
Cool, man.
What do you got lined up for us?
This is Man of a Thousand Regrets.
My guess is Death to Anders. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
1, 2, 3 Stay gone.
Come from this place, you will be named man of a thousand complaints. Far from this place, you will be named man of a thousand regrets. And I wouldn't have cared who you are with the whole room alone for my thoughts on the way back to nowhere I got. And I wouldn't have said, God damn it,
I wouldn't have cared
who you are. And I wouldn't have said,
God damn it,
I wouldn't have cared
who you are.
And I wouldn't
Death to Anders on Is Good on killradio.org. Let's talk a little bit about writing. It's a little unusual, I think, to have a band where there's two vocalists and there's not one who's like the front man and the other one is the backup guy. How do you guys decide who sings what song primarily, or is every song kind of a duet? And tell me about the writing process too. Is it a completely collaborative effort, or is there one person who writes most of the songs?
Well, it's kind of all over the place, really. When we first started playing together, Rob and I, back, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That was, let's see. He had you know, the bundle of the song, like a big, huge chunk of the songs written. I had a couple. And so what he would do is, you know, he would just bring a song to me, and then I would put a guitar part to it and maybe a harmony or something like that and kind of progress from there. And it's changed since then. I mean, I'm writing a lot more now, and we've also taken a lot of time to play together and just kind of do some on the spot writing, and it all produces different results, really. I mean, it's kind of benefited us too, I think, because it's kind of given us a sound that's all over the place. You know, it's not just it's not really stagnant in that sense. You know,
mm-hmm. But you guys have, I guess, sort of a similar perspective on things then? Because I was thinking it might be a problem if someone comes in, one of you has written a song, and the other one doesn't get it or doesn't see how it fits in with the Death to Anders sound.
Well, that's happened sometimes. Like, I mean, there's, you know, like, I come, you know, like, a lot of the stuff I do is more, not really in this acoustic set, but it's more like there's a lot of, you know, abrasive noise and stuff like that, and a lot of sounds that don't quite fit the key, and there have been a lot of times where you know, Nick will bring a song to the table and I'll start putting a lead to it, and he'll be like, you know, I like change up like a note here or there, and it's tough for me at first because I'm like, no, I really like it, but then after a while, like, I'll do more to what, like, he was saying, and then it'll just click, and I'll be like, oh, you were, like, totally right. Like, cool.
So it stops being his song and becomes the shared Death to Anders song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's been times too where we, you know, we'll bring each other a song and we'll try jamming out on it and stuff, and it just won't ever come to fruition for whatever reason, and we'll just kind of toss it aside and just won't, you know.
Let's get a chance to listen to this the more full sound with the heavy guitar and drums stuff like that. I'm gonna play the second track from the CD you brought in. Is that also on this Death to Honduras?
This is it's actually not, but it's on our MySpace site. This is like one of our brand new songs, and it's called Corduroy Stitches, and we just pretty much finished mixing it, mastering it, and throwing it up on MySpace. So.
Well, cool. Let's have a listen. This is Death to Honduras. This is one of their new songs, and you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Her brain.